which dream it might have been. "You will go," said Kara to the fleck of paper, "to the place where all the broken dreams go." She spent a moment wondering what a place filled with broken dreams might look like, and just as it was starting to take on a familiar shape in her mind, the corner of a sheet whipped her smartly in the face. "Ow!" Kara said to the wind, rubbing her cheek. She flushed with rage, but quickly saw that being cross with the wind was unfair. It was, after all, her fault for leaving the list of dreams in the pocket of her jeans. It was she who had put the jeans in the washing machine. She inspected again the bits of notepaper dotted on the lawn in case they might be reassembled, and leaned down to pick up a few mushy flecks. The grass, by contrast, was brown and crisp. The warm spring wind buffeted her ears before blustering away towards the hills. Kara looked up at the dun, threadbare hills and let her anger return. "Sod off, you bastard wind!" In response, the wind flapped the sheets again, as if to remind Kara of its usefulness. "Sod off," she said again, but quietly this time, because fast-drying sheets could help the day catch up on itself. It had got unruly, the day, as usual. Kara berated herself for being so slapdash about the laundry. Once she had found great satisfaction in viewing her neat lines of clean washing, tiny bright white socks and wafty softened muslins. Now she couldn't remember how to care, and evidently nor could she remember to remove things from pockets. Not 2 months before, she'd presented her husband, Duncan, with the sodden pieces of his notebook and said meekly, I'm hoping this didn't have all your passwords in it. Duncan had drawn one of those deep breaths with a significant pause before the exhale, which is how Kara could tell he was cross. She wished he'd yell about it, though. She didn't know what to do with such a tiny hint of anger. Couldn't yell back about doing his own goddamn washing or checking his own pockets. She could only feel guilty. The little notebook had been filled with reminders, contact details, jottings to enter into patient files, details of committee meetings, all the hallmarks of an active and conscientious community member, good friend and diligent GP. He had reason to be grumpy about losing it, but, as always, Duncan's temperate nature prevailed. From under the clothesline, Kara wondered whether some intractable part of her had known the notebook was in his pocket, and whether that same part had also sabotaged her list of dreams. She surveyed again the last of the flecks in the grass, all that remained of her considered bulleted list, titled with the earnest declaration, "Things I Really Want." The first of these things, Kara recalled, was to create a wonderful garden admired by people far and wide. This was followed by a less confident, maybe make a name for myself, and then a grumpily scrawled, use my degree. This was a perennial source of disquiet for Kara. The fact that she had attained first-class honours for her Bachelor of Landscape Architecture and worked as a council gardener, and then, for the sake of marriage to Duncan, a move to the country and the arrival of twin babies, ceased gainful employment altogether. There had been a dismaying but grounding period between marriage and pregnancy, in which she had dreamed up a landscape design service and shop for the Nowhere River High Street. But her detailed business plan had been met with rather pat, dismissive responses. What a romantic idea! How sweet! And so on. And a feasibility study had rendered it absurd. Be a better mother had been another item on the list, followed closely by be a better wife. Those two had then been struck through with heavy-handed lines and replaced with be a better person. The words shouted through the wind to Kara as she stood beneath the clothesline in an unkept garden with her dreams in pieces at her feet. Smithereen dreams, she thought, as she turned her back on the mess of them. Perhaps they'll help the grass grow. This reminded her that the compost bin needed emptying and that time should not be wasted under the clothesline. It was, after all, very precious time. Cherished and adored time. Nap time. Her twins, at almost 10 months old, still blessedly sleeping.